Please turn your Bibles to the last book of the Bible, and that's the book of Revelation, please. Revelation, we're going to be in the first chapter, the second chapter, and the third chapter of Revelation this morning. We're going to look at who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. We're going to look at what Jesus said about Himself to the seven churches. Now this message is one that speaks of the names of Jesus just in these chapters. And it's a message that is going to exalt and brag on Jesus Christ. But let me say this. The devil doesn't like this. You know why? Because he wants to be the one to be worshipped. Humanism doesn't like it because humanism wants man to be exalted. So, we're going to be talking about Jesus Christ. There's going to be some who doesn't like it, and for sure the enemy doesn't like it. But any time you lift the name of Jesus up, it is offensive to some. Now I hope and pray in a New Testament blood-bought church by the blood of Jesus Christ, none of you will be offended when we talk about Jesus Christ. If you're offended, you need to get right with God through Jesus Christ. But we're going to exalt Jesus, and we're going to read one verse in chapter 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Let us pray. Lord, what an awesome, humbling time it is. And yet one that is excitement in the house of God. To be able to come before your throne of grace and mercy, in prayer, in worship, in adoration of you. And Lord, as we look in this precious word of yours, may it, Lord, encourage and comfort, and yet may it rebuke and correct, Lord, as we look in your precious word. Please, Lord, speak to the church this morning. May the sheep be fed. May those who are hurting, Lord, be touched. May those who are down and out, Lord, may you encourage them. And may it all be for your glory, Jesus, and exaltation. Amen. Who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Just in this verse, we see that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Uses the Greek alphabet, the beginning and the end. He is eternal. Our Lord is eternal God. Also, he says that who is and who was and who is to come. We do not need to create a new Jesus. The old Jesus is just fine, amen? We don't need a new Jesus. He is unchangeable. He is the same yesterday, today, and if He allows us breath tomorrow, He's going to be the same Jesus tomorrow also. He is unchangeable. Also, He is the Almighty, which means the All-Ruler. He is sovereign. There is none beside Him. He is the Almighty. He is the Almighty of the Old Testament, of the Old Covenant. And He is still the Almighty of the New Covenant. The Almighty. There is none above Him and there is none beside Him. He is the Almighty. What an awesome God we serve and love. And as He speaks to the churches here in the seven churches in Asia Minor, we also see some things that will help us in our Christian walk to encourage us. You see, as we see the day approaching of His return, may we draw closer to Him. We don't know when He's coming back, but He could come back today. Amen. So let us draw closer and not be of those who fall away. But He writes in chapter 2, verse 1 of Revelation, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says He who holds the seven stars in His right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. We see the answer to this verse in chapter 1, verse 20. Look with me there. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, are the pastors of the churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So in chapter 2, verse 1, we see who holds the seven stars and He walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. What does that tell us, the church? That tells us that Christ loves the church. He is concerned for the church. He loves the church. He nourishes the church. He loves you and me. And He walks in the midst. Don't you know when we're in here praising God and praying and fellowshipping with one another and fellowshipping with Him, He is walking in our midst? We come here to lift the name of Jesus and to worship Jesus. That's why we're here. And He's walking in the midst of us because He loves the church. He nourishes and cherishes the church. He's concerned about the church. And we read on in verse 8 of chapter 2. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. You see, He is the beginning of all things. Matter of fact, He's the author of our faith. He's the finisher of our faith. He's the perfecter, the completer of our faith. We have no faith without Jesus. And He will complete us. He will see us through. And also, who was dead and came to life. Isn't that marvelous? He holds the keys of death. He was dead. He experienced death. He didn't just pass out on the cross. The Roman soldier stabbed Him in the side with a spear and out came water and blood. A sign of a person who died of heart trauma. He died of a broken heart. He gave His life for us. And He experienced death, but now He is alive. He conquered death. And when we are in Jesus Christ, we are alive. Yes, we may experience death. This flesh must die. But we have everlasting life in Jesus Christ. Amen. Everlasting. He was dead and came to life. You know what? Spiritually, we are dead in trespasses and sins. But when we are called by Jesus and we believe in Jesus and follow Jesus, the Bible assures us that we are in Christ. And we become alive then. That's when everlasting life begins. He was dead and came to life. So He loves the church in Ephesus who left their first love. And yet Christ says, I still love you. I walk in your midst. And He tells the dead church that He was dead but now alive. And then He tells the church in Pergamos, verse 12, to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things says He who has the sharp two-edged sword. You see, Scripture is the authority in which we live by. Jesus is explained as being the Word that became flesh. It says that in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. The Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And He has the sharp two-edged sword, which represents He is the Word of God. He has the Word of God. And when you think of a sharp two-edged sword, you know, the physicians today, they can even use lasers, which is so sharp. And physicians use scalpels that are so sharp. And when we think of something that sharp, it cuts, but it also brings healing, doesn't it? And when we are in the One who has the sharp two-edged sword, this Word, it corrects us, it rebukes us, it reproves us. But you know what else this Word does? It comforts us. It encourages us. It comes to our mind and our heart when Jesus says, you need to witness to that person. It comes to our heart. And we are to hide this Word in our heart that we may not sin against Him. He has the sharp two-edged sword. Verse 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and His feet like fine brass. So He speaks of Himself as the Son of God. He is deity. He is the Son of God. He is the only begotten of the Father. There at His baptism, God the Father spoke and says, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. By the way, He doesn't call anybody else His only begotten Son. His beloved Son. This is My one and only Son is what God the Father says about Jesus. So He is the Son of God who has eyes like a flame of fire. He can see our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows the reason you're here this morning. He knows the motive behind what you're doing. You cannot hide from the eyes of God. He has eyes as flames of fire. He knows our very heart. He knows if you love Him or not. And I'm not talking about Santa Claus, by the way. I'm talking about Jesus, the One who really knows your heart this morning. And feet like fine brass. He is stable. He cannot be moved. His feet is like fine brass. And when we are in Christ, we're on this solid rock. And no matter what the world may throw at us or what may happen tomorrow or this afternoon, when we are in Christ, we are on solid ground. We're in someone that is unchangeable and unmovable. Fine brass. He goes on and says in chapter 3, verse 1, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. How sad for a church to think it's alive and yet it's spiritually dead. But our living Lord says that He has the seven spirits of God. This represents the Holy Spirit. Seven in Scripture means perfection. And He has the seven spirits of God. Many speak of this as the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's our comforter, our helper, our encourager. The One who corrects us. The very person of Christ in us, God in us. The sevenfold ministry of the Spirit of God, and Jesus Christ has the seven spirits of God. Jesus is perfection. Jesus is all we need. Jesus will meet all of our needs. His comfort, His presence in our hearts and lives, that's all we need. We don't need a new one. We don't need a different one. We need this one who is perfection. The seven spirits of God, and He knows our works. He knows our hearts. He says in verse 7 of chapter 3, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says He who is holy." You see, He is consecrated. There is none like Him. He is holy. He who is true. There is no falsehood in Jesus Christ. No falsehood. He says, actually, in John chapter 14, verse 6, that "I am the way." That word "the" is very important. It means He's the only way. He says that He is the truth, which means He is the only truth. And He is the life, which means He's the only life. And no one comes to the Father except by and through Jesus Christ. There's no falsehood in Him. He is true. And it says, "He who has the key of David." And this word "key" in Scripture means authority. He has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He has the key of David. And with this authority, listen to what He says. "He who opens and no one shuts." You see, when Jesus opens a door for you, no man can close it. All you got to do is be obedient and follow Jesus. That's all you got to do. When He opens it, no one can close it. But when He, it says, shuts, no one opens. No one can open it. Please listen. If He's wooing your heart this morning, if you have never believed in Jesus, repented of your sins, and turned to Christ to follow Him the rest of your life, please, before the door's closed, you cannot open it back up. No one can. We read on about this awesome God whom we love and serve. In verse 14, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen." Amen means that's true. Let it be. You see, He is the true one. What He says is truth. So let it be. "The Amen. The faithful and true witness." You see, He is our Redeemer. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that's Jesus Christ. And it says that He is faithful and true witness. You know what else Jesus has done for us? He's redeemed us. But also, God came in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the image of the Godhead. And He has shown us how to love God, that we can call God Father, that we can follow Him, and that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. He shows us how to pray. He shows us how to live. He showed us how to look forward to His return. He is the faithful and true witness. So when we are witnesses for God, and when we want to be faithful, we have the example. That's Jesus Christ. So we are to follow Him. He is our faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Nothing has been created apart from Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning, and He'll be forever. So, to the church, to you and I, to you and I present this morning, what are we to do? Let's read verse 19 of chapter 3. Verse 19 says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. So we have an awesome God who loves us enough that through His Word, He corrects us. He calls us closer. He loves us. And the things in our life, we are to repent and draw closer to Him. Initially, for salvation, and daily, turning to Him more and more. Why? Because He loves us. Verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears My voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with Me." You see, God created you and me to have fellowship. He wants to have koinonia, which means sweet fellowship with you. That's the purpose of salvation, is to have fellowship with a holy God. He wants to dine with you and fellowship with you. Open the door to your heart. When He calls and knocks, open the door and hear His voice. Verse 21, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with Me on My throne, as I also overcame and sat down with My Father on His throne." Listen, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Will you listen to what He says this morning? That's why we're here, to hear what God says. Let's shut out what man says, what the world thinks, and let's listen to what God says. Because He is the faithful and true witness. This morning we're fixing to have an invitation. That's where you can come and confess publicly Jesus Christ. He says, if you'll confess Me before men, I'll confess you before My Father in heaven. You can follow Him in believer's baptism. You can come and be a member and enter in covenant with this church. Christ loves the church. Maybe you need to just come and kneel at the altar. I don't know. Well, however the Lord leads you, do it. Do it. Let us pray. Lord, again, we thank You for Your Word. We want to say we love You. And may we tend to eternal things at this time. May we listen to what You say most of all. For Your glory. Amen.